The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Tokens and welcome. It is Monday, April 8th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. I am back from beautiful Astoria, Oregon, where I took a trip, both a physical and a mental one, if you get my meaning, and had a most interesting time in hour two, Toker Talk Radio. I'll tell you all about it. Wow, some amazing things I saw on the weekend in Astoria. But we'll get to that after our first hour, which is chock full of great stuff for you on today's show. In today's Radical Rant, I'm going to take a look at a new poll that has been commissioned by New Approach Oregon, which is a new coalition of all the activist groups here in the state of Oregon. And they polled Oregonians on their feelings about marijuana legalization for 2014 or 2016. And we'll give you a look at the poll results. Also, I'm going to give you a look inside the politics at the State House in Salem and how MPP's Safer billboard almost killed any chance for marijuana legalization in 2014. You'll get all the behind the scenes in our Radical Rant today. Also on today's show, for Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at 420 Radio. We got some changes coming up here for 420 Radio in the next couple of months, some important gigs, and so we'll give you a preview of all of that. And speaking of new stuff for 420 Radio, some of you are already there. We have a brand new 420 Radio Google Hangout. It's at rad-r.us/420hangout with a capital H. I've posted it a couple times in the chat room. You can get online there. Brian the Red is running the chat room, the video chat room right now. There's room for up to 24 cameras if you want to get on cam with other 420 Radio fans all across the country. It's a whole lot more fun at 20 after when you can see each other, let me tell you. But before we get to all of that, we have got some Daily Toker Tunes today. We have got our Roots Monday. And Bago Schwago, who's normally our Thursday editor, found a song from David Kovics called Cannabis Cafe. I think we've played it before, but we're going to play it again. That's today's Roots Monday tune. So we'll bring that up at 20 after the hour. Those of you in the Hangout can enjoy 20 after with us. At the beginning, though, right after this first break, we're going to do our 420 Radio news, all sorts of headlines. Maryland is one step away from becoming another one of our medical marijuana states. A business study shows a possible $6 billion to be made in marijuana sales by 2018. The Idaho Court of Appeals has an important decision on marijuana DUI. In Long Island, the drug rehab people want the FDA involved in medical marijuana. And we began the festival season this weekend with the Hash Bash in Ann Arbor. We'll tell you all about it right after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grove. Check out our genetic diversity at tgagenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Monday, March 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Maryland medical marijuana bill heads to the Senate and Governor Martin O'Malley. The Maryland Senate has approved a medical marijuana bill on Monday by a vote of 42-4. This from HuffingtonPost.com. The bill passed on the last day of the legislative session. The bill now heads to Governor Martin O'Malley's desk. According to the Baltimore Sun, he is expected to sign the bill, having called the bill a, quote, yellow light approach to medical marijuana. The AP reports that the bill would create a state commission to oversee medical marijuana programs at academic medical research centers that decide to participate. On March 8, Maryland's health secretary backed the legislation, noting the O'Malley administration had changed its position on medical marijuana last year. Legal marijuana sales set to quadruple by 2018, according to a new study. This from Huffington Post. U.S. legal marijuana sales are projected to hit $1.5 billion this year, and that could look like nothing in just a few years. Data from Medical Marijuana Business Daily shows that total sales could quadruple to $6 billion by 2018 on the back of legalization efforts in Washington and Colorado, as well as the growing medical marijuana industry. The two states both legalized the recreational use of weed in November. Elsewhere, 18 states and Washington, D.C. have made medical marijuana legal, while 10 others have formal measures pending to legalize medical marijuana, according to the National Cannabis Industry Association. That's reflective of a wider acceptance of the drug. A recent Pew Research Center poll discovered a majority of Americans support pot legalization for the first time in more than four decades. As many as 52% of Americans support legalizing weed, 45% do not, and nearly three-fourths say the amount of money spent enforcing marijuana usage laws is not worth the cost. Idaho Court of Appeals overturns marijuana DUI conviction. This from Spokesman.com. The Idaho Court of Appeals has reversed a lower court's decision upholding a Boise man's conviction for driving under the influence of marijuana. The court ruled last week in the case of Jared Stark, who was found guilty in 2010 of driving while impaired. In its ruling, Judge Pro Tem Jesse Walters overturned the conviction, arguing that Stark's blood test results only prove he'd used marijuana recently, not the day he had stopped. "There's no question Stark was impaired that day," Walters said, "but there's no proof that drugs, and not some other condition, caused his erratic driving." During his original trial, Stark said he was disoriented because he was dehydrated and hungry. He said he also suffers from paranoid schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Organizers of Long Island Summit say FDA should decide the merits of medical marijuana, not the states. From CBS New York. A Long Island not-for-profit agency headed a conference Monday trying to highlight a message of skepticism and caution on the issue of medical marijuana. The Long Island Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, along with the Seafield and Karen Treatment Centers, hosted a so-called marijuana summit on Monday to detail the push for legislation in New York and talk about the experiences in other states that have already done so. The meeting comes after legislation was introduced in Albany last week to permit medical marijuana. Dr. Jeffrey Reynolds, executive director of LICAD, said he doesn't believe in legalizing medical pot and thinks it will hurt the majority of New Yorkers. Reynolds said his group believes that if cannabis is to be considered medicine, the route being traveled by the New York state government is not the right one. Quote, "If it is to be considered medicine, then the Federal Food and Drug Administration should be approving this, not the New York State Legislature," he said. Guru of Ganja tells Michigan crowd, legalization cured the need for medical marijuana. From rawstory.com. Speaking to a crowd gathered Saturday for Michigan's annual Hash Bash and marijuana legalization protest in Ann Arbor, former High Times columnist and self-proclaimed guru of ganja Ed Rosenthal declared that the successful legalization initiatives in Colorado and Washington last November have cured him of his need for medical marijuana. He said, quote, "Up to then, I had been using marijuana medically. Then, when the polls came in and it showed that marijuana was made legal, I found that I had been cured. Cured! I would no longer need a prescription to get it. Hallelujah. End quote. Rosenthal's joking issuance of a clear prognosis is likely to give ammo to drug reform critics who say that medical marijuana legalization is just another step down the road to regulating adult use and over-the-counter purchases. And that's your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at changes here at 420radio.org for this summer. Thanks for supporting 420 Radio. You can become a VIP member by visiting our website at 420radio.org/support us. We are listener-supported cannabis community radio, and we'll be right back.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that demotivational syndrome.
Sneak preview of some of the things going on here for 420radio.org. Lots and lots of big changes. First of all, we've got our big summer events that are coming out. 420 is just in a couple of weeks. We're going to be there in Denver, Colorado at the 420 Radio booth. We'll be in the nonprofit area. It's easy to find. It's the one without all the tons of people at it because there's no weed there. But there's plenty of people there anyway. There's supposed to be 10 to 15,000 people at this Cannabis Cup in a couple of weeks. So we will be there streaming live, 420 Radio. And when I say streaming live, I mean it this time, streaming live. Even if it's only audio, I'm going to be coming to you live from 420. We will do what we can with the bandwidth we're given. And I've discovered that with the T-Mobile device I have now, that we can at least get you audio coverage no matter where we go. So we're really, really looking forward to that. Hope to meet you there in Denver. Some of our 420 Radio fans and moderators will be there at the booth. I know Gray Wolf will be there, Lively Libra, Big Daddy Fink, Adam Hand. I think Adam Hand's going out there. Ganja John will be there. I think Coleco was trying to get a ticket out to Denver. We shall see. But check out the 420 Radio booth. We'd love to meet you there. Also, coming up in June, I'll be touring with the FNAs out of Dallas, Texas. We're going to do a short little, I think it's about a six-week tour. Dallas, Albuquerque, a few other stops. I might even make it to Ottumwa, Iowa on my own. But we're going to tour with the FNAs and provide information about marijuana legalization to people in the middle of the country. And again, we'll stream live from as many of those events and do live shows from the road as much as possible. This all leads up to the third weekend of August, where we will be at Seattle Hemp Fest. First legal Seattle Hemp Fest, third weekend of August. We will be at the Dab Central booths, which are just past the main stage on either path. We're at the intersection of two paths, so it'd be very easy to find. We're there with Happy Daddy Tools, and we're there with Adam Handmade Apparel, and there's the Oil Slick, I think, is another one of a few groups that are grouped in together on this. We got a pack of four booths, right? So basically it's gonna be a 20 by 20 area for us. And again, we'll be streaming live from Seattle Hemp Fest. Now, to tell you about some of the structural changes here for 420 Radio, if you've been following my personal life at all, you know that I'm getting a divorce, and that means that things change. Whenever you get divorced, things change. And one of the big changes is expenses. Living in this house here in Portland is a very, very expensive house to keep running with all the utilities and the rent, and besides that, all the maintenance that is required. And it looks as though both myself and my ex-wife will be moving out of this house. Neither one of us can afford to keep this house by ourselves. And so this is what is looking to be, and right now it's about 80%, 85% for sure here, is that we will be moving Rolla J Studios in a couple of different ways. First of all, the infrastructure, the Libermator that automates all the play 24 hours a day, we're going to put that out at the Weed Blog. We're, you know, partnering up with theweedblog.com, probably one of the most popular blogs out there on the internet when it comes to marijuana news. And we're going to house our Libermator in their remote, in their servers. So it's like a remote machine. We can dial into it from anywhere and be able to control the flow of the shows. It'll take care of the uploads and the downloads and all of that as well. We can just remote in. This should give us a lot of advantages. One advantage is the stream and the broadcasting of that stream taking place from Salem on a really fat bandwidth pipe should make it a much better connection for those of you out there trying to listen to us. That would be, you know, a steady connection. And for us, when we're out at remote gigs trying to connect in, we don't have to have that big bandwidth pipe to run the whole stream. We just have to get our signal to Salem. And then once it hits Salem, then it's on the big pipe to go out to all of you. So I'm hoping that by moving this to the virtual server at the Weed Blog, we'll be able to have much better control over our shows and be able to bring you much better streaming when we go to our live events. Another change that's going to happen is where I will be living. Again, I can't afford to live here. Way too expensive. I have gotten an offer from, you remember, you know her, you love her, Cannabis Carrie up in Astoria to take over the basement in her place and make that the new Rolla J Studios. The advantage of that, it costs one-fifth what it costs to live here. And me, I can live anywhere just as long as I got a connection to the internet. So it looks as though I'll be moving to Astoria. We'll be bringing you great scenery from Astoria up there. You'll be able to see the Columbia River and the ocean and so forth. Now, this leads to another problem, though. What do we do with Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, A Different View, and Herb Thrasher? Well, since we'll have the Libermator set up remotely at the Salem Studios, all we need to do is set up little mini studios for Herb, for Brian, and for Jen and Iva from their place, which they can run on Skype, they can run on VLC, just about any way we can get that connection. And just as my show will connect to that remote studio, their shows can connect to that remote studio, and everybody can still have their show with the added advantage of not having to traipse all the way in here to Rolla J. They can do it from their own damn house. We've got enough extra equipment here to be able to set up a studio for all three. So it's going to be so, so useful for us to be able to have shows that can control their own destiny, get on the air. And what's really nice, Libermator software is already programmed that it can be programmed to be taken over remotely. So shows that, like, if Herb wants to do a show from some bar sometime that's not in the normally scheduled programming, he can issue a command from wherever bar he happens to be at, add himself into that 420 radio signal. So it's going to be an amazing change here. We'll still be running our shows. We'll still have the same lineup that we all have always had. And my hope is it's as seamless a transition as possible for you, the listeners, that you really won't even notice that much has changed other than maybe my backdrop changes. You might see the ocean from time to time when I'm doing my show. The other slight difference would be not being in the studio with Herb or with Brian or with Jen and Iva when they're doing their shows. But as you can see from the Google Hangout, we've got that covered too. I could actually engineer the shows remotely, remote control, while I'm in Astoria, controlling the server in Salem while they're talking in Portland. It's amazing the technology we got here. So work with us as we work all these kinks out. It will make it as smooth as possible. And if you want to help support us, go to 420radio.org and click support us, become a VIP member today, and help us all out. And in other news, we got shipping to do today. I got some shipping boxes for Pink Leaf shirts.
Yep, we're going to ship out some shirts that we sold, and we still got a couple left in the extra, extra large.
Right on. Check that out. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hey guys, Nico Escondido, High Times Magazine, here with another video grow tip of the week. We're here in a little hydroponic garden. It's a very manageable operation. Some of you might be doing something similar at home or thinking of it. And we just wanted to show you a little bit about the feeding system, the irrigation system, if you will, that they've implemented in this grow room. Because it's one of the more popular varieties these days. It's very simple. It's a top feed hydro system. And if you just look right down here in the pot, you'll see right at the top they're using top hat spray emitters, staked into the medium, and they just are fed by spaghetti lines, and they just do a little top feed. They just spray 360 degrees all the way around. It gets even penetration. And this grower, he does it very simply. They just water for about two minutes per day. That's all it takes, 2 minutes per day. They got 4,000 watts running in this room, and it's going to yield somewhere around 7 pounds. And they're using a nutrient line called Black Label Nutrients. It's very simple. And it's amazing that they get these yields. If you look, the NPK ratios are very low. And with a feeding regimen of only 2 minutes per day, but you still see the weight, the chunkiness of these buds. This is an OG pheno. It's in week 7. It'll go just past 60 days, I believe. And the yield is epic. So there you go. If you're thinking about doing some hydro, check out some top feed systems. Spray emitters are great. And you want to find a nutrient line that has a minimalistic approach, you know, something that's not going to clog up your spaghetti lines. It's going to get, you know, just the right amount of nutrients to the plants so that they're happy and healthy. Man, all I can say is I wish they were coming down today, but they're not. See you guys later. Nico out.
Through the water, in the sky.
Funky roller rink.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 23 after the hour, and for Roots Monday today, we're going to play a song that I know we've played on this show long, long ago, but our new Thursday music editor, Bago Schwago, happened to find this tune out there and thought it would be a good one for Monday, and I agree. I believe this one's written about the cannabis cafe that's in Vancouver, BC, not the one that's here in Portland, Oregon, but the theme is still the same. What a nice place it is to be able to gather together with other adults and smoke a little cannabis. This is David Rovix with Cannabis Cafe.
I wish I was up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Santa Amelia at the beginning of the day. But here I am in New York City, hiding out in Central Park, getting kidnapped by the police today sometime before dark. But I wish I was up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Santa Amelia at the beginning of the day. Judge looked down upon me frowning. He said, kid, get on your way. Just don't start out your mornings with an espresso and a J. I said, I wish I was up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Santa Amelia at the beginning of the day. Here. Hitched a ride out to Portland, caught one up to BC, took a bus over to Hastings Street to have a bowl with my coffee. Now I'm up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Santa Amelia at the beginning of the day. One more time. Now I'm up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Santa Amelia at the beginning of the day.
Another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinfgarnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm...
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This segment is brought to you by Wood Pipes, Smoke Shop, and Speakeasy. email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. And I'm going back to the archives for this one. You know, Washington State has a new pot czar. His name is Mark Kleiman. He's a public policy professor at the University of California, Los Angeles. Last summer, I had the opportunity to speak to him before Washington passed marijuana legalization. And he had some very interesting things to say about the prospect of marijuana legalization in America. So here we go. This is Mark Kleiman, who is now Washington's pot czar from June of last year. Enjoy.
He includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, we're waiting for our call from Dr. Mark Kleiman, PhD. He's one of the co-authors of a new book entitled Marijuana Legalization, Everything You Need to Know. And this is getting a lot of play on various websites, and I've got a couple up here that have made a point of it. On Huffington Post, the headline is, Pot Legalization Could Result in a Joint Costing a Few Cents. This also from Slate. They say it continues to be totally off the radar of prominent politicians, but polls indicate that large and growing numbers of Americans are open to the idea of legalizing marijuana. They point out the 50% in the Gallup poll, the 56% in the Rasmussen poll. Now, the this article claims that those polls are outliers, meaning, you know, those are just exceptions, and most, you know, a lot of polls are still in the upper 40s on this issue. But I wouldn't say that they're that much outliers, considering there have now been seven separate polls since 2009 that have shown a majority support for marijuana legalization. The Rasmussen and Gallup polls that were already mentioned, but they're also Angus Reid has produced three polls that have shown this, and there's been a couple of others that have shown above 50%. So it's not so much of an outlier. They also point out that the young voters are much more in support of legalization, and older voters are much more against it. So sooner or later, we have to have an increase in support as those older voters are no longer with us. But according to this new book by Jonathan Calkins, Angela Hawken, Bo Kilmer, and our upcoming guest, Dr. Mark Kleiman, Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know, is that legal pot would be amazingly cheap. In fact, mid-grade stuff would be so cheap, this again according to Slate Magazine, mid-grade stuff would be so cheap that it might make sense for businesses to give it away, like ketchup packets or bar nuts. Conventional thinking about pot pricing is often dominated by people's experience buying weed in legal or quasi-legal settings, such as Dutch coffee shops or California medical marijuana dispensaries. But this is badly misleading. Neither California nor the Netherlands permit growing or wholesale distribution of marijuana as a legal matter. If pot were fully legal, its growth, distribution, and marketing would work entirely differently. Another headline on this book that's very interesting comes from Rolling Stone magazine, posted today. Pot legalization is coming. They are pointing out here that in November, voters in three states could approve ballot measures to legalize marijuana, and not just for medicinal purposes, for getting high purposes. They point out that about half of America would be fine with that. Again, the support for marijuana legalization is improving by adults, and it is a relatively benign drug compared to alcohol and tobacco. It's done an impressive job of racking up racially biased arrests, throwing people in jail, burning up police time, and propping up a $30 billion illegal market, enriching psychotic personal zoo-owning Mexican drug lords. But it hasn't stopped Americans from smoking a ton of weed. We're up to 20 to 30 million users, 3,000 tons, 6 billion joints a year, and rising. And teenagers, who ideally shouldn't be toking up on a regular basis, say pot is easier to get than beer. Quote, there's that Talmudic principle that a law that's not obeyed is a bad law, says Dr. Mark Kleiman, a drug policy expert at UCLA and the co-author of the new book, Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. He continues by saying, quote, I think we're pretty much at that point, end quote. So we're looking forward to the call in from Dr. Kleiman on the line. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Dr. Mark Kleiman, PhD from UCLA. Welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thanks very much.
You know, I'm really interested in talking to you about this issue because, of course, you're speaking to a very pro-marijuana legalization audience. And so when we hear things like mid-grade marijuana would be so cheap, it'd be given away like bar nuts, that actually sounds like a really good thing to us. Explain this economics. Explain this economics as to why the marijuana would be so cheap under legalization.
Well, distinction here. there's legalization at the state level, as Colorado and Oregon and Washington are now considering for the fall. And there's legalization at the national level. Compared to the current fully illegal situation, legalization at the state level would cut the price of marijuana by about 90%, a little less. Rand estimates that an ounce of marijuana that sells for $300 in a California dispensary would go for about $50 in a fully legalized retail state, because the production would still have to dodge federal enforcement, so you couldn't have a farm field of it or a greenhouse full of it.
Sure.
But you could rent a house and grow it inside the house, and that's probably not enough activity for the DEA to pay much attention to. And it would be legal under state law. And doing the calculation about, you know, how much you have to rent the house for and how much you have to pay for the Grolux bulbs and the cultivators and so on, Rand has estimated that the full retail price would be $40 to $50 an ounce.
And we hear from...
plus whatever the state tax would be.
Right, and then we hear from people that say, of course, with that dramatic decrease in price in these western states, that would also lead to a price decrease across the nation. But wouldn't the illegal buyers and sellers still be forced to deal with their prohibition risk at the state and federal level? I mean, would the prices really come down that much?
Sure they would. But so if you're a drug dealer in New York, marijuana dealer in New York, you're currently paying about $2,000 a pound for top-grade marijuana in California. Or you're paying somewhat less than that for much less good marijuana, just this side of the Mexican border. Right? Those are really your two options. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave out Canada for the moment. So you can pay $2,000 a pound. That's, call it $150 an ounce for sensory in California, or somewhat less than that for commercial grade for Mexico. Instead, you could just, you know, get some kids in Colorado each to go to 10 marijuana retailers and buy the 1 ounce limit from each of those retailers. So if you got 10 Smurfs, you've now got 100 ounces of marijuana that cost you $5,000. That's a lot cheaper than you can get in California. And then you just have to either drive it home or FedEx it home.
And certainly a lower risk for that person in New York.
Much lower risk for that person in New York than buying from a strictly illegal dealer. Hmm. So the price in New York would go down as a result of legalization in Colorado. But that's just the state level thing. Now, the beer nuts level is something else. If the federal government legalized marijuana, so you could grow it the way you grow corn, you know, in big fields with combines to harvest it and mechanical processing, then we're looking at another factor of 10 decrease in the cost of production. I mean, look, marijuana is a weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not very hard to grow. It would cost what tea costs. And what does a tea bag cost? A couple of cents.
Yeah.
No reason a joint should cost more than that, produced fully legally. Now, you could raise the price with taxes, but how much could you raise it before people started evading the taxes? That's what we're seeing with cigarettes.
Sure.
Now, you said, that sounds like a really good thing. I want to suggest it doesn't sound like a really good thing. Reminds me of an old ad for some brand of premium scotch I saw in the New Yorker a million years ago. Said, you know, if the difference in price between, I don't know, Chivas Regal or Johnny Walker Black or whoever it was, and ordinary scotch matters to you, you're drinking too much. If paying what's a joint cost these days of good quality pot, maybe
$7, $10.
$4?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. And it'll keep two people stoned for 4 hours, roughly. So they're paying 50 cents an hour to get stoned. So the candy bar they eat because they got the munchies costs more than the pot did. If the price of the pot matters, you're smoking too much pot.
Well, I guess we have to define what smoking too much pot really means. I mean, I smoke pot every day, probably more than 90-95% of the people that use marijuana. But I'm very productive. I don't get into trouble. Uh-huh. I mean, what is the danger we're worried about here if there's an increase in use or a decrease in price?
The danger we're worried about is that some people, not a trivial number of people, who smoke the amount you smoke or more, actually find that it interferes with their lives. Right. So if you look at the household survey, you get about, projecting to the population, you got 2 million people saying that their marijuana smoking is seriously interfering with their lives. Now, that's not nearly as many as would say that for alcohol, because alcohol is legal. It's not a small number. And one of the things that keeps people from smoking a lot of pot is it costs money. Any commodity I know, if the price goes down, consumption goes up. And my argument would be, look, people who are smoking a reasonable amount of pot aren't paying that much for it. It's not a real big factor in their budgets. The guys who are, wake and bake, smoking 8 joints a day, it's a big factor in their budget. Well, good.
So then the effect of this then is we keep marijuana illegal, we arrest a bunch of people for it, and that maintains an artificial price support that prevents people from overdoing it. But doesn't that artificial price support also enrich murderous Mexican cartels?
Absolutely does. That's the problem of marijuana policy. You've got to trade off between illegality with all the costs of illegality and free availability with all the costs of increased drug abuse. You got to try and figure out where on that spectrum you want to lie. My view is we'd be better off conceding that some people are going to smoke too much pot, making it legal, trying to make it as expensive as we can under legality, and try to limit the marketing. Right. So my ideal system would be that people would join co-ops the way they do in Spain, that there would not be big marijuana companies, running Bud versus Bud Light ads on the Super Bowl. But I don't think we've got any idea what, a real free market business could do with a fun drug like marijuana. Think how well they've done with beer.
True, but...
And remember, the people in that business would not be at all interested in people who like to get stoned on Saturday night.
No,
they're not using enough pot to matter, because they're not using enough pot to matter.
Right, right. This is the same alcohol argument that's made, that the alcohol
exactly.
companies want the serious drinker. The casual drinker doesn't really matter to their business. But in that situation, we're talking about something that's toxic to healthy cells and organs and kills people that don't drink, whereas marijuana doesn't even kill the people that do smoke. It seems to be, even if we did have companies that were advertising and making a lot of money by selling marijuana, so what? McDonald's makes a lot of money selling Big Macs.
No, I agree. Of the currently illicit drugs, cannabis is the most legalizable. In the sense that the health damage is limited and the personal damage is limited, not zero. This nobody ever died is sort of silly by those standards. Nobody ever died of smoking tobacco either.
Nobody ever died of smoking tobacco?
Well, if the rule is you're looking only at fatal overdoses, cannabis smoking damages the lung.
I concede there's not a fatal overdose for nicotine, but certainly it's the major contributor to, lung cancer.
Yes, and it looks like cannabis does not cause lung cancer, but it does cause other kinds of lung damage. It's very implausible that nobody dies of that. It's very implausible that nobody ever died of an accident that happened because he was stoned. But in the real world, people hurt themselves.
Conceded.
And so it's not zero. It's not very large. The best argument for cannabis is that if there was more cannabis around, people would drink less. The problem is we don't know whether that argument is true or not. Because we know that alcohol and cocaine, for example, are complements. If there's more cocaine, people use more booze. If there's more booze, people use more cocaine.
Yes, yes.
We don't know whether they're making marijuana legally available would lead to more or less heavy drinking.
Haven't we seen some studies showing a decrease in alcohol consumption in the medical marijuana states, or at least beer consumption?
There's studies on both sides of that issue, and notice the medical marijuana states, marijuana costs what it costs in the black market states.
Right.
It's not cheap, right? We have not done the experiment with widely available, legal, cheap, heavily marketed pot. We just don't know what the consequences would be. Now, look, that's not a good enough reason for saying, oh, let's be afraid to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good enough reason to say, look, let's not be too confident. I mean, no, look, I don't disagree with people who want to legalize cannabis. I disagree with the people who say, oh, let's legalize cannabis. Nothing bad will result.
Aha, yes. Okay.
Very implausible that nothing bad will result. We've got to figure out what those bad things are, figure out whether we can come up with policies that will limit the extent of the bad things.
Very, very reasonable. You know, Dr. Kleiman, I appreciate these viewpoints because oftentimes I find myself being the guy in my community saying, now, hold on. It's not harmless. Anything that alters your perception isn't harmless. It's just a whole lot less harmful than a bunch of other things.
Exactly.
Oh, well,
exactly. We're on the same page.
Excellent. Well, you know, I look forward to, you know, talking to you more about this. And, you know, with all the events that we do and conferences and such, maybe we'll get a chance to meet in person sometime. Dr. Mark Kleiman is one of the co-authors of Marijuana Legalization, Everything You Need to Know, and a professor of public policy at the University of California, Los Angeles. And thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. I appreciate your expertise, sir.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about another drug policy.
Actually, we won't, because that's a pre-recorded interview. But that's Professor Mark Kleiman, the current Washington State pot czar. A lot of interesting ideas. Seems like he wants to keep the price of marijuana high so we don't smoke too much of it. You know, you're smoking too much pot if you're worried about the price, right? Wonder if he's got that same plan for alcohol. Hey, when we come back, Radical Rant time, we're going to talk about Oregon 2014 and how MPP might screw that up. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die? Calculated stars and lies.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Kim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper
Man?
If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper
Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper
Man?
If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
This weekend, a new poll from DHM Research asked 500 Oregonians three questions about marijuana legalization. This poll, plus a 46.5% vote for Measure 80 and a 55% vote for Initiative 502 in nearby Washington, has persuaded the editorial board of the state's largest newspaper, The Oregonian, to call on the Oregon legislature to put a reasonable marijuana legalization proposal on the table for voters in 2014. According to the poll, half of Oregonians now support taxing and regulating marijuana like alcohol. Only a third strongly oppose legalization of marijuana. In the Portland and Eugene metro areas, the support is at 55%. A full 80% of Oregonians believe legalization is inevitable in the state, and 70% of Oregonians want to vote on the proposal, whether it's presented as an initiative or by advocates as a referral from the legislature. The only question now is whether the Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project will mess that up. Now, for those of you not familiar with the situation, here it is in a nutshell. There is a coalition of every marijuana group in Oregon that's working together with the legislature to craft a legalization referral. These locals are going by the name New Approach Oregon. I don't know, not original, but whatever. New Approach Oregon, and are headed by Anthony Johnson. Now, Anthony Johnson is also the director of the National Cannabis Coalition, and he's a longtime marijuana activist. And full disclosure, he's a friend of mine, and I used to work for National Cannabis Coalition, just so everybody knows where we're coming from. Now, Anthony's last political position was the director for the campaign of the 2010 ill-fated Measure 74. That was when we tried to pass medical marijuana dispensaries. Now, New Approach Oregon is also joined by Paul Stanford, who's the head of the National Medical Marijuana Clinic chain THCF. He's also the host of Cannabis Common Sense on this network and the chief petitioner of last year's Measure 80 legalization attempt that also failed. The coalition also includes Madeline Martinez, who's the proprietor of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe and a member of the Normal Board of Directors. The coalition has garnered the support of every local group in the state that's working on medical and recreational marijuana issues, and it's backed behind the scenes by some of the biggest political movers and shakers in Portland and Salem. The group is also well-funded. They've been lobbying in Salem, working with lawmakers, law enforcement, the Liquor Control Board, and the beer and wine industry to create a sensible legislative referral each group can support and the voters will pass. Now, legislative referral, by the way, that's when the legislature writes an initiative and then lets the state voters vote on it. Some states have this, some states don't. Oregon does. Meanwhile, there's the Marijuana Policy Project out of Washington, D.C. It hired Roy Kaufman, the former campaign spokesperson for the Measure 80 campaign, as its Oregon representative. MPP is not supportive of the move by locals to place marijuana on the ballot in 2014. Preferring instead to run an educational campaign through 2015, culminating in an initiative on the ballot in 2016. MPP claims the support and turnout in a presidential election year will make legalization a slam dunk in 2016. The problem is that MPP is not at all supportive of the 2014 ballot run by locals. In a memo sent to members of the local coalition, and this was before MPP hired Kaufman, MPP Executive Director Rob Campia wrote, quote, "Given that an initiative in November 2014 would be almost certain to lose, MPP would contribute no money toward a signature drive, paid staff, or advertising during the 2013-2014 cycle. If, however, a tax and regulate initiative is placed on the November 2014 ballot, then Oregon will fall by the wayside and lose its time in the sun in 2016 in the same way that California was premature in 2010 and was unable to raise any funding for a 2012 ballot measure. The comparison between California's past failure and Oregon's prospective failure is pretty precise." Except, of course, California 2010 existed in the United States that had only 44% nationwide support for legalization. California could point to no legal marijuana states. California didn't have 80% of its population living within an hour's drive of a state that passed legalization with a 55% vote. California hadn't just given a 46.5% vote to a wide open legalize all the weed you want initiative just 2 years ago. California didn't have a repeal of the anti-gay marriage amendment on its ballot. California doesn't vote by mail. California didn't have the editorial board of the state's largest newspaper telling the legislature to put legalization on the ballot. California didn't have every marijuana activism group in the state united behind its legalization efforts. California got the bulk of its money from one man, while Oregon has raised plenty of money from many sources now, in a state one-tenth as large and one-twentieth as expensive for ad buys. California's two senators opposed legalization. In fact, Senator Feinstein chaired the anti-Prop 19 committee, while Oregon's two senators would likely support legalization. California's initiative was not a referral from the legislature, bypassing the need for an expensive signature drive. And California's governor signed a decrim bill that took the wind out of Prop 19 sales, while Oregon has had ticket-only decrim for 40 years. So, other than those dozen differences, the comparison's pretty precise, I suppose. Now, this not-so-subtle threat by MPP to the locals to stand down and let MPP secure another legalization victory its way in 2016 did not sit well with local activists. Undeterred, they went forward with negotiations with the legislature and urged MPP to join them in the effort. MPP refused. And despite the memo's threat that MPP wouldn't spend any money on paid staff or advertising during 2013 if locals moved forward, MPP did spend some money by hiring Roy Kaufman and by beginning its Safer Style ad campaign. Safer, or Safer Alternatives for Enjoyable Recreation, is the brainchild of Mason Tvert, who is now MPP's Director of Communications. Mason, a student at a Colorado university, formed the group to highlight the dangers that college kids faced from binge drinking. There had been a few high-profile deaths on Colorado college campuses, and Mason wondered why students were punished for marijuana, thus incentivizing them to choose the more dangerous drug, alcohol. Safer became an 8-year campaign in Colorado, showing up at public events in a state where the Coors Brewery is located and the governor is a microbrew millionaire. So MPP's first salvo in the Safer campaign for Oregon was a billboard in downtown Portland. It was a picture of a glass of beer, a glass of wine, and a pot leaf with labels reading beer, wine, safer, and encouraged people to not just drink, but think. The billboard was purchased to coincide with the Spring Beer and Wine Festival, a longtime Portland favorite, given our love for craft beer and local wineries. But back in Salem, however, lobbyists from New Approach Oregon were furious. The politically well-connected lobbyists for the local beer and wine industries were not exactly happy about all four news stations devoting coverage to a billboard implying that their products are dangerous. And the local marijuana lobbyists were still rallying support in Salem for a bill in committee to tax and regulate marijuana. The beer and wine lobbyists were ready to issue a public statement against the bill, which would have cost the votes of some legislators who rely on the campaign donations from microbrews and wineries. Only a phone call from New Approach Oregon to the beer and wine lobby, explaining they had nothing to do with MPP's efforts, kept that from happening and allowed the bill to escape the committee with a 6-3 vote. It also turns out that MPP purchased the billboard directly across the street from a church and a drug rehab center, which complained to the media about the placement of the billboard. Now, never mind that the previous billboard had been a Coors Light ad. The local coalition leaders cringed that the public and Kaufman dismissed their concerns, and it left the public to believe that marijuana reformers in Oregon are insensitive to religion and drug rehab. MPP lacks a local insight in Oregon politics that the reformers at New Approach Oregon have in spades. Knowing these lawmakers on a first-name basis is what got Oregon its nation's largest 24 ounces and 24 plant medical marijuana limits. Colorado tactics may backfire here. In Colorado, the mega brew industry is marijuana's enemy, and playing a safer campaign works there. In Oregon, the microbrew and winery industry can be our allies because our alcohol industry is more about tourism than unit sales. In fact, the head of the Spring Beer and Wine Festival wants it to be the Spring Beer, Wine, and Weed Festival once we legalize. In Colorado, the medical marijuana industry is thought of by the public as a strong government control of marijuana, but Oregon's medical industry is still seen as out of control in Wild West, with winks and nods about donations and reimbursements, shadily maintaining a quasi-legality. If Oregon reformers are going to play legal marijuana against anything, it would be against medical marijuana that so many think here is a ruse for legalization anyway. Our Measure 74 and Measure 80 both lost in part because the public saw them as attempts by the currently quasi-legal medical industries to monopolize marijuana. I don't understand why MPP won't work with the New Approach Oregon group. It's a solid professional team with funding and a smart plan for a legislative referral that would cost nothing for a signature drive. What harm would there be in coordination between the two groups? Fund an educational campaign that doesn't demonize craft beer and wine, and work for that legislative referral in 2014. If it wins, great. Keep working and have legal marijuana. If it doesn't win, then keep going toward 2016. What's the problem? Unless you're worried that funding in 2013 might educate people to pass somebody else's legalization. That wouldn't be it, would it, Rob?
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, that's all the time we got here for hour one. We're headed to Toker Talk Radio. Hour two, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.